And now, Jim Dearman.
A man was telling another individual about a co-worker of his who had died and was buried 2 weeks earlier. He was telling the man that this co-worker had already been replaced at the office as if he never existed. And the surviving co-worker simply couldn't help thinking that the same thing was one day going to happen to him. He was going to die and that he'd be forgotten. It would be as though he had never lived. The man was haunted not by the fear of death itself, but by the thought that his life would have been of no real importance at all. You know, Solomon, long ago, looked at life under the sun, all things under the sun, and he declared that all is vanity. However, after cataloging the world's evils and deciding that the roads of wealth and wisdom and pleasure led to dead ends, he then advised that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. He advised to eat your bread with gladness and enjoy spending time with your wife and cherishing those moments. All of that within the context of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 through 12. We're familiar with that text particularly that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. In other words, live every day to the fullest extent. And really what Solomon was pointing out is that we need to gain satisfaction in not necessarily a few great deeds, but in thousands of little ones. And cherish moments that many simply take for granted and that go by unnoticed and unappreciated. Now, here's the question we want to discuss today. How is it that we can live every day to the fullest? How is it that we can gain satisfaction in thousands of little deeds rather than a few great ones? Four rules for living. Here they are. First of all, accept adversity. As we go through this world, we're going to have to accept adversity because adversity is going to come. There's going to be pain in life. Pain is a part of life, and we've got to prepare to accept pain or else we'll never dare to hope or to love. We've got to have a readiness to feel, and that includes a readiness to feel pain, or else there'll be no capacity to really feel joy. Pain is a part of life. Do you think people have any difficulty accepting that today? Well, what about suicides? What about the rate of suicide? Why do we have so many who commit suicide? Could it be possible that it is society's attitude toward adversity, toward pain and toward suffering? You know, we live in a time when we are led to believe that for every pain, there is a pill. You have a pain, you take a pill, and the pain goes away. But when we're programmed that way, and when the pain comes, and we take the pill, and the pain doesn't go away, what happens many times? Many times people have a hard time coping with it. And then they see no way out. And so suicide is their only option as they think about it. But you know, pain is a part of being alive. But we need to understand and appreciate that pain doesn't last forever. And it is bearable. We need to see that broken hearts, just like broken bones, will heal ultimately. I remember the words of a preacher saying, once who was talking about grief, and he had experienced grief in his own life and the loss of his wife. He said, after loss, there is life and laughter and love. That's a good statement. After loss, there is life. After loss, there is laughter. After loss, there is love. And so the first rule for living is to accept adversity. Life is full of challenges. Life does have pain. Life does have adversity. We need to learn to accept it. The second rule for living I want to talk about today is this. Learn to love and lean. Learn to love and learn to lean. Obviously, learn to love other people and learn to lean upon people. Be that close to people, to at least some people in your life upon whom you may lean in those times of adversity, and toward whom you feel a complete sense of belonging. We need to be close to people. We need to belong intimately to a few people with whom we share our whole lives. I read of an illustration of one who was watching a television drama, and on the drama, as it was depicted, there were honeymooners standing on a cruise ship near the railing on a cruise ship, and on their honeymoon, the wife was saying to the husband, "If I were to die tomorrow, my life would be full because I have known your love." And as the two honeymooners walked away from the railing, the life buoy revealed the name of the ship, Titanic. We do need to belong. We need to feel close. We need to learn to love and to lean on people. A small boy and girl were building a sand castle, almost had it completed when suddenly a big wave came along and knocked it down. The man who was observing the little boy and girl building the sand castle said that he expected to see them upset, distraught over their structure that had been suddenly demolished. But instead, they simply jumped up, clasped hands, and laughingly went down to another spot and began there to build another sandcastle. You know, all of our structures that we spend so much time in this life, so much time and energy creating, they're built on sand, aren't they? And all of those structures are going to be destroyed eventually, but even in life, some of those structures that we build, we may see destroyed. A wave may knock them down. Adversity again. But when that happens, the person who has somebody's hand to hold, as that little boy and girl could hold each other's hands, and someone with whom to laugh, will be able to start over. There are some people we just need to be close to in this life. There's some people we need to be able to lean on, to love deeply, and to lean on completely. And that's the second rule for living life to the fullest. The third is this. As you go through life, contribute to change. Contribute to change. Now, what do we mean, contribute to change? Know that you have been able, by your influence and your teaching, to contribute to the change positively in someone else's life. Leave something behind, in other words. Make a difference. Contribute to change by teaching. And I don't mean by teaching necessarily in a classroom, although certainly a person who teaches in a classroom setting can have a widespread influence over a period of time over a great many individuals. And that can be very satisfying. But in the classroom of life, teach your child. Teach your child how to enjoy fishing. Teach your child how to enjoy bird watching, how to enjoy being out and appreciating the so-called simple things of life. Pass along to a fellow worker a skill or an experience that will live on when you are gone. Yes, contribute to change. Even in the so-called seemingly insignificant things, day-to-day contributions to change that are positive and that can leave an imprint on others. That's important. The fourth rule for living life to the fullest: live until you leave. Live until you leave this world. That's important. I have a quote here from philosopher Horace Kallen, who said there are persons who shape their lives by the fear of death and persons who shape their lives by the joy of life. The former live dying, the latter die living. Whenever I die, I intend to die living. Well, that's a good statement, isn't it? Whenever I leave this world, I intend to leave living. Oh, I know we're going to die unless the Lord comes again, but you know what we're saying. Die living. That is, living life to the fullest. Stop searching necessarily for great deeds that will give life, quote, meaning, and settle for the gratifying moments that come every day and the opportunities that are ours every day. You see, life is not, it's not just about power. In fact, it's not about power. It's not about amassing great material wealth. No, it's not about those things. Life is about a passion for living and for loving and being loved. That's what life is about. Life is not about soaring to the skies in secular pursuits, but about savoring the sunsets that we have opportunity to savor every day. It's not about amassing a great amount of wealth, but about accumulating the true treasures that we may accumulate every day if we'll look for them as we go along our journey. A new friend, a new truth that we can appreciate that we may not have discovered in our lives. A new experience undergone, all of which make us richer than we were the day before. Live until you leave. But now, you may say, well, you haven't mentioned God in everything you've said in these four rules for living. And so the question obviously arises, can we deal with the question of life's ultimate meaning without reference to God? Go back to Solomon. He couldn't. No, he believed that life had to be more than mere biological existence. And after his full exploration of life and the pursuit of happiness in so many ways, how did he conclude the whole matter? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here it is, fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole the whole of man. You see, man without God can only judge by results or by achievements. Did you win or lose? That's the question. Did you show a profit or did you show a loss? That's the way it has to be judged without reference to God. But God alone can judge us on the basis of what we are, not just on what we do. Yes, God is vitally concerned about what we do, but He's vitally concerned about what we are. You see, God sees successes where society doesn't always see successes. God gives us credit for angry words that we did not speak. God gives us credit for temptations that we resisted, for patience and gentleness seldom noticed and soon forgotten by those living around us. God doesn't consider them frivolous nor forgotten. With God, such good deeds are never frivolous, and they are never forgotten because God gives them a measure of eternity. You see, God enables me to follow the four rules for living. By being a follower of God through Jesus Christ, and by only living that way, can I fully apply the four rules that we've talked about today for living. Who is it that can truly accept adversity? The child of God can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul said in Philippians 4:13. Our light affliction, Paul elsewhere wrote, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And who is it that can really be close to people and love and lean? Who is it that can truly learn how to love and lean on others? It's the child of God. Bear one another's burdens, Paul wrote, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Who is it that truly knows the kind of love that Jesus talked about when he said, as I have loved you, you love one another. To that extent, who is it that can truly apply the rule to love and to lean on others? It's the child of God. It's the follower of Christ. And let me ask you this. Who is it that can really apply the third rule for living? Who is it that can contribute to change in others? The child of God. Oh, what a change he can effect. Let your light so shine, Jesus said, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The greatest change in others can be brought about by the contribution you can make to those others as a result of your life as a Christian. Yes, truly, you can contribute to the greatest change of all by living the Christian life before others and by looking for opportunities to teach them the truth. And who is it that can truly live until he leaves? It's the child of God, because he has truly the abundant life in Christ. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now you tell me who can really live until he leaves this world if it's not the Christian. You see, the Christian is the only one who can really apply all of these rules to his life. Because eternal life in heaven is his and his alone. It belongs to the faithful child of God. For in Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Christian can accept adversity and be stronger as a result of it. The Christian can learn to love and to lean and get through life beautifully and effectively because he has those, his brothers and sisters in Christ, with whom he has that special bond and upon whom he can lean fully. The Christian can contribute to the greatest change of all. The Christian can truly live until he leaves. It may be summarized in this way. When are you truly alive? It's when you're no longer afraid to die. And the only one who should not be afraid to die is the Christian.